Well, hi, everybody. It's Ken
Blog
Shepherd.
Talk
Sorry.
Radio.
Hi, it's Ken Shepherd. Hope you guys are having a good day. Sorry, I'm a couple minutes late. We were in the middle of finishing a call with an attorney. Sometimes those can go a little late. So I just wanted to welcome everybody. We'll be here for about a half an hour. And it's great to be back with you. My name is Ken Shepherd. I do a lot of real estate investing in today's market. It's a very interesting place to be. We get involved in doing loans, purchases, partnerships, equity participations, and credit enhancements. I've been in the industry for over 30 years. We recently closed $25 million of deals and put up a soft proof of funds to do up to $500 million and more. You can learn more about us at our website. The website is www.creativeflipsplural.websplural.com. If you want to call in and talk to us, the call-in number is 347-989-1239. We're here today to talk about different ways you can make money in real estate without using any capital. In our first discussion the other day, we talked specifically about finding properties that were boarded up, tied into the building and safety department, which there are all over the country. Every city has a building and safety department to protect the properties in the area from being blighted. And they very much welcome anybody to come in and fix any of those problem properties because they certainly don't want them in that state. And we talked a bit about how you can go about finding those properties and such like that. You can listen to the radio show we did last week in the archives and learn more about that particular kind of situation. And what I also want to do is talk to you guys today about finding properties through the foreclosure process. As we know, there's a lot of properties in default all over the country for many different reasons. And we're going to talk specifically today about how you work with properties before they go to auction, because there's three phases of foreclosure. The first one is before the auction. The next one is at the auction. And the third one is after the auction. So we're going to talk today about before the auction. And what you have to remember about this particular phase is that you're working with properties that have been recorded in their county as in default. The lender has made notice to the borrower that the loan is not current and needs to be remedied or it will be taken by foreclosure. The borrower has a particular period of time, depending on the state you're in the United States, to respond to that notice. If they don't respond to the notice, then the property could be sold at auction. And if you do respond to the notice, lots of times the banks today will work with you much more than they would before because they have so many foreclosures coming in every day from all over the country. There's no way they can keep up with them all. Just no way. So what we recommend is if you're going to work with properties before the auction, the first thing you need to do is you need to get a list of those properties that are in default. Now, if it's before they're recorded and you have a relationship with the lender, sometimes they'll tell you about the ones they're planning to record. But for the sake of this call, let's take the position that you don't have those relationships and you're just working with a list like I did when I first started. So there's a number of different ways you can get these lists. You can sometimes get them from title companies, sometimes from local newspapers that publish them, or sometimes at the courthouse. It depends on your local county. You can check with your county tax recorder's office and ask them how they suggest you go about acquiring such a list, or with a local title company, or any of those folks would generally know how those lists are provided. And if they're not provided, you can go to the courthouse and look it up. It is public record once it's recorded, and you can then get in touch with the property owner. Now, the key to the entire process of working with properties before the auction is that you need to be able to reach the owner. Now, sometimes these properties will be vacant, and they're, of course, they become a little bit like the ones we talked about in the first discussion, which was the building and safety board ups. However, if they are not vacant, then, of course, you have people living in the property, and they may or may not be the owners of the property. They may be tenants, or they may be the owners, or they could be living there without anybody's permission, as you know, and trying to take the property by saying that they're living there and they're not supposed to be and all that good stuff. But essentially, let's talk about those properties that are not vacant and where the people that are living in the property own the property or it's rented. Obviously, the first thing you need to do is you need to look at the property. Now, that's a matter of getting in your car or having somebody else do it for you and just drive by the property. I'm not suggesting you go up to the front door. I'm just saying drive by the property. That will tell you whether or not it's occupied. You can usually tell by trash cans out front or, you know, mail that's piled up at the front door or something like that. But if it's occupied, you'll find cars in the driveway. Sometimes there'll be cars in the driveway when it's not, but generally if it's occupied, there'll be cars in the driveway or there'll be signs of people living there. So what we like to do is there's a couple different ways you can approach this. The first thing you can do is you can call them on the phone. And you can reach the owner that way if they live in the property. And if you get to them, first thing I'd make sure is you have a local number for them to call you back, because lots of times they don't answer their phone when they're in default, because people in default are frightened, frankly, and they don't want to be disturbed, or they're looking for an answer and they can't figure it out and the bank's not being very responsive. And so there's a lot of issues going on at the same time. There may be medical issues in the family. There may be many other things that are going on that are causing all of these problems for them. So what we recommend is that when you go by the property, if you notice that it's occupied, the first thing, as I said, you could do is you can make a telephone call, and you can say, I noticed your house was in default. And, or actually, I would say it this way. This is what we say. We like to work with people that are upside down to help them out and turn them right side up. People like that. They feel it's responsive. You're not talking specifically about the word foreclosure or default, kind of are going around it and saying, we understand this is a troubled asset or troubled property. It needs some attention. I wouldn't say asset. I would say property to keep it simple. I'd keep it very simple. Talk slowly and talk softly to people, because they're used to being probably yelled at by a lot of people, and they're also, as I said, probably going through some pretty frightening times. So you want to be responsive, and you want to be friendly, and you want to say, how can we help you? Doesn't cost you anything to ask us to help you. So sometimes people will say, I've already got it taken care of. Then sometimes they'll say, I don't, and I need help. Well, if they say they have it taken care of, then, of course, you can check with the local trustee where the property is being supported through the foreclosure process and find out if it, in fact, is still in default. If it's not, then fine. If it is, then you can go back to them and say, maybe there's a mistake. But the trustee shows the property is currently not taken care of, and perhaps there's something we can do to help you. If you do that like once a week on those properties of interest to you, over a period of time, people will see that you're not trying to hurt them, and in fact, you're following the property along, and you're trying to come up with a solution for them. The other thing I like to tell people is we have the cash to be able to help you right now. It doesn't cost you anything, and we'd like to see if we could provide a solution for you to help you that makes sense for you. And lots of times when you approach people like that, they respond very positively and they're interested in learning how you can help them. So let's take this standpoint that they don't want you to help them. We know what that means. We know that means you're just going to track that property, try and give them a call back, and such like that. Now, if you're a little more, if you're personable and want to go to a front door, what I would recommend is be very careful about dogs. We used to carry pieces of meat, actually, in our pocket and toss them in the yard so the dog could go get the meat. But then again, if that dog finishes the meat, then you may be the next course. So you want to be careful there. But if there's dogs, I generally don't go up to the front door. I just wait for the people to come out because the dogs are barking, and obviously people want to find out why the dogs are barking. Now, if you do decide to knock on the front door, always be polite, you know, shake, put out your hand to shake their hand and say, "Hi, my name's Bob, or such, and we work with properties that are upside down to straighten them out. How can we help you with this property? We understand there's some financial issues with this property." And that way, if it's a tenant, you haven't disclosed anything. Financial issues could mean that you just want to help them get another loan. Doesn't necessarily mean there's a problem. You're not saying it's in default. You're not saying there's a problem. You're just saying, "We want to see if we can help you regarding some financial issues with the property." And then if they ask, "Well, what does that mean?" They say, "Well, are you the owner?" If they say, "No, I'm a tenant," say, "Well, could you please give this message to the owner for me, or could you provide me with the owner's phone number because I'm interested in helping them with this asset, with the property, rather." And if they say they are the owner, well, now you have a situation where you're face-to-face with somebody that actually is an owner of a property. Now, let's take the standpoint of that they're not the owner. Well, that means, of course, you just have to do the follow-up. A lot of this is really detective work. As a matter of fact, we've gotten involved with private detectives to help us find people who we can't find them anywhere and given them a piece of the deal in order for them to help us. But let's stay on the simple stuff. You find the person, you reach the person on the phone or by letter in the mail or by postcard or by knocking on the door or by talking to the neighbor and asking them when they might be home and getting the neighbor's phone number and catching up with the neighbor to help you with the house where the problem is without telling the neighbor what's going on, just saying, "I'm just trying to reach these folks. I have good news for them." You always have good news for people. That's what I always tell them if they're not the owner. I say, "We have good news. For the owner, we'd like to speak to the owner. The good news is we've shown up." Because if we hadn't shown up, they may not have. They certainly don't have the option they do if we hadn't shown up. They have more options now, and they actually have the opportunity to perhaps straighten out their problem because of the fact that they have us in their option list of, you know, to help them with what they're doing. By the way, also the call-in number is 347-989-1329. If anybody wants to call in and talk to us, you're welcome to do so. So let's talk a little bit more about what happens once you talk to the owner. So if you have the owner now, you say to the owner, "How can I help you?" And they say, "Well, this is my situation." And then you listen. You have to listen carefully because people need you to listen to them. They're going through a lot of stress, and you want to be a listening ear, you want to be an understanding ear, and you want to let them speak until they're done. Like, when you say, "How can I help you? What happened here?" And then they'll tell you, and you start looking and listening and taking notes and wait till they're done and then say, "Okay, based on what you've told me, I may very well be able to help you. I'm not sure." Now, obviously, it depends on what they owe on the property. You have to ask them those kind of questions. What do you owe on your property? How much is it worth today? Does it need any repairs? Do you plan to stay or would you rather sell? What's the bank been saying to you? You know, and just kind of get a better understanding of what's going on with that property. On any property anywhere in the United States, once you get to the owner and you'd like our help, just call me at my office, 310-358-7087. Or you can send me an email to F as in Frank, C as in Charlie, I as in India, at PACBELL, PACBELL.net, and just put Blog Talk Radio in your subject line and your name, and we'll be happy to respond to you. Or if you call our office, just leave a message, we'll return your call. We want to help people. We have the capital to do it, and we've been doing this successfully for 30-plus years. So, once you're talking to the owner, the things you want to find out about is, you know, what happened, you know, and do they have a first loan? Do they have a second loan? Are there any liens against the property? Do they own any other property? Is there anybody else that can co-sign for them? Do they have anybody else that can provide any other collateral, which is basically a fancy word for other assets that can be provided as additional loan security? Do they have any cash that they can put into the transaction to help if they want to stay? If they don't want to stay, then you deal with it from that standpoint. The most important thing is you want to get the story as much as you can about what they're planning to do. If they want to stay, that's one circumstance. If they want to leave, that's another circumstance. But you make sure you're talking to the owner before you have this kind of conversation, because you don't want to be having it with a tenant and find out that the owner gets upset because you talk to their tenant about their personal situation. You want to make sure you're talking to the owner of the property, the person where the tax bill is sent. Okay, the people who own the property, who have title to the property. So the key here is you need to build their trust. And the only way you do that is by being calm, businesslike, and professional. Don't show up in shorts and a t-shirt, dress nicely. I'm not saying a suit. I think that's over the line. I think maybe a nice shirt and slacks, or if you're a gal, maybe pants and a blouse, or a dress, a nice dress or something. I wouldn't wear high heels because you're running around from house to house. Maybe wear some comfortable shoes, such like that. But, you know, just look comfortable, like you would be going to a party at somebody's home. It's a nice home, say at a holiday event or something, and you'd be wanting to make a nice impression. So you want to dress that way, and you want to make sure you're talking to people with that kind of calmness and a very nice but authoritative, that you know what you're doing, and you're willing to help them at no cost to them at all, unless we actually make a deal, and then it may depend on the deal. Depending on the deal, there may be certain costs, but more likely there would not be any costs for them. So once you get their interest, then we start looking at that transaction. And that means, will the lenders discount the loans? Is it necessary for the lenders to discount the loans? Are the loans worth more than the property? Or is it the other way around? I've seen properties where there's only a loan for $5,000 and the house is worth $200,000. And I've seen houses where the house is worth $200,000 and the loans are $400,000. So it's all a matter of each situation being looked at individually. Every situation is different. Every story is different. There's no two that will ever be alike, and you'll never hear it all. So you have to just listen, and once you're done, then you either decide if you feel like you have enough information to be able to move on the property, then you can talk to a title person and get a copy of the profile if it's available. It depends on certain states. They have profiles. Certain states, they don't. The reason for the profile is to get an idea of what the property has in terms of loans. Is it close to schools? When were the loans taken out? When did it last transfer title? Now, it's not like a title policy, which we'll get into later. It's a profile. It's kind of an overview, but it's not a policy. A policy is a much more comprehensive document where you get what's called a preliminary title report and then a title policy. But let's talk right now about the simple thing, which is just to get a property profile, if you can, that you get from a title company or from a real estate agent that you know that may be able to help you get the profile. I will get into all these things later in more detail, but for right now, you have to get a property profile if you can. You have to make sure that you have the trust of the owner, okay? And then you start talking to the owner about what are they planning to do. Well, if they're planning to stay, then you have to work something out with the banks so that they don't end up losing the property. If they plan to leave, then it's maybe easier to work it out with the banks because you're going to be able to take over the property, pay off the lenders, perhaps at a discount, and then fix up the property or rent it or do whatever is appropriate depending on the circumstances. And again, as I said, every circumstance is different. Okay? So you always want to be listening to what they have to say. Always make sure you're talking, as I said, to the owner, the husband, and or the wife, if there's a couple, or whoever may be the title holder. And even if it's not the title holder, if the husband holds title by himself, you still want to include the wife in the conversation. And if they ask you if you want, they have an attorney, they want you to talk to that person, that's fine, or a CPA, or whoever it might be. Anybody they want you to talk to is fine. The most important thing is you need to build their trust. And as you start looking at this transaction, you'll decide which way you want to go. Is it something you think you can keep and rent out? Is it something that you want to resell or maybe do a lease option on? Is it something that you want them to stay in? I mean, it depends on what they want to do. Because the whole key here is we're not looking to cause them any ill will. We're looking to help them and make it better than if we hadn't shown up. That's the key. Okay, when you leave a transaction, you always want to feel that you've been in a position where you've done more for the people than they could have done for themselves, and they walk away from the transaction feeling like you actually offered them something they couldn't do alone. And a lot of people are in that boat today. So the other thing that you might want to think about as you're kind of going through this process of getting to know people and their properties is finding the people that will help you with making the deals once you have an interested seller or borrower. So that's a matter of starting to build your network, and we'll be getting into those conversations as we continue to build this series. We'll be doing a lot of these radio spots and shows, I should say, half hour. And if you have any questions, again, you can call in to 347-989-1329. We have about 7 minutes left, 8 minutes actually. So that's really, really important. The other thing that you have to remember is when you're working with these kind of properties is there may be more than one loan. There may be a first loan, there may be a second loan, there may be a tax lien. So you need to ask the people as much as they can give you in the way of information about what's going on with that particular property. And when you find that information out, that's when you can react. Now, it's also very important as you get a little deeper into the transaction to do a contract. Now, the contract can be written in such a way where you don't have the obligation to purchase the property, but you have an interest in purchasing the property. And once somebody signs with you, it doesn't mean that that you're going to buy it, because there may be a period of time, depending on which state you're in, that you have a cooling off period. In California, I believe it's 5 days from the time they sign if they're going to sell the property to you, to make sure that they're comfortable with the transaction. The other thing is make sure you let them know you can close for all cash very quickly, whether they want a loan, a purchase, a partnership, whatever they want. The idea is you're going to try and do it very quickly, and you're going to try and do it upfront, honestly, and with decorum to everybody. So that's kind of an overview of when you're working with properties before the auction. I've done many properties this way, where I started out knocking on doors and meeting people and helping them with their situations. I've made phone calls as well. I haven't sent many flyers. I do know people that send flyers all the time. I haven't found that to be good for me, but maybe it'll be good for you depending on where you are in the country and how people receive those flyers. They do have an expense attached to them. Now, of course, if you have somebody's email, you could send them an email address. I mean, once you connect with them, you can get their email address and send them email reminders. There's lots of ways that you can stay in touch with people once you get their attention. But the key is you want to find people that are willing to listen to what you have to say and want to try and make an arrangement work with you. That's the key. So we have about 5 minutes left. I'll talk a little bit about some of the stuff I've actually done when I was first starting in real estate and I was driving around in property. This was all properties that were before the auction. When I was just getting started, I had made friends with a real estate agent who had investors from another deal I had done with him. And I used to drive around and just look for properties. And if I found something that I thought was good, I would call him up, and he would bring an investor out to look at the property, and he would share his commission with me. And when the closing came up, and we all could make some money that way. One of the deals I did was a property in a beautiful neighborhood and an area here called Tarzana. If anybody you know is California or Southern California, Tarzana is a very, very nice area. It was a big house. What happened was the people who lived in the house were chemists, and they had developed a very, very popular formulation in the soda business. They had been relocated to another part of the United States, and they had been moved by the company, and the company took this house and put them in another house. Well, what the company didn't realize is that this house had foundation problems, and they didn't disclose that. Well, that was obviously a problem between them and the company, but the company had the property, and they couldn't do anything with it. They couldn't sell it because of the problems with the foundation, so they let it go into foreclosure. We found out about the foreclosure by driving the properties and pulling property profiles, just like I mentioned earlier. We did some research. We found the owner of the property. It turned out that the person we needed to speak to was actually not a physical person, but the company. And at the company, there was a representative, and it was an attorney, actually, who was responsible for this particular transaction. Well, when we came along, we said, look, we can buy it where it is, as is. It was vacant. It was a beautiful house other than the foundation problem. We purchased the property through an investor of this realtor. the investor gave us a nice fee for bringing him the property. He then took the property, repaired the problem, and then sold the property for a substantial profit. So this is just one transaction, one example. That was a vacant property. We bought many properties from people who were in the property at the time that we found them in default, and we've helped them move and pay their moving costs and all kinds of things. And one of them actually liked us so much that he offered us another property across the street from him, which is a duplex, because we were working with him on a single-family home. And we bought both of them and did very, very well. That was done with an investor partner. When I first started in real estate, I had no money at all, and I raised it by going to the paper and finding investors that way and talking to realtors and getting out and just making it happen, you know, finding money. I mean, one of the guys that I found that I ended up doing a lot of deals with, I met because he had a third mortgage on a house, and I called him and I offered him $1,000 for an $11,000 third mortgage. He invited me up to his home. He showed me all the mortgages he had. He asked me if I understood mortgages, and I said, a little bit. And he said, well, he says, if you'll ask me to buy an $11,000 note for $1,000, I'd rather be your partner and fund all your transactions. And he gave me a $500,000 credit line to be able to go out and buy properties with him as a partner. I did all the work on the finding the properties, analyzing them with him. He funded everything, and then we did the repairs with his money and my learning about how to find people to do fix-up, and he helped a little bit of the fix-up, and then we resold the properties and did very, very well. We did probably 10 or 12 properties together, and then he moved away. So we're reaching the end of the show. We have about 90 seconds left. So hopefully this has been helpful for everybody. Once again, my name is Ken Shepherd, and my website is www.creativeflips.webs.com. Flips is plural, webs is plural. You have all of our information there, who we are, what we do. Feel free to join our website. Ask us any questions. Call us on our phone number. Send us any kind of email you'd like to FCI, F as in Frank, C as in Charlie, I as in India, at PACBELL, PACBELL.NEP. On the next call, we will talk about buying properties after the auction from lenders who have taken them back in foreclosure and how you buy a property that way. I'm going to keep this kind of overview simple and not get into a lot of detail so that hopefully as many people as possible gather the information from this, and hopefully it'll be educational for them. We are investors. We are principals, which means we use our own money or we have partners, and we can close very quickly. We do a lot of deals like this, and we'll be talking about a lot of different ways you can make money in real estate. Thank you very much for attending today. Look forward to talking to you soon, and watch the calendar for our next call. Have a lovely day, everybody. Bye-bye. Well, your yay was on my recording, by the way. Jeez Louise. I don't know how many people were listening. It said Switchboard had no callers. So, for all I know, there is none. Let's go to my account. I know you did, baby girl. Let's see. Schedule and edit shows. Okay. Profile views. I had 5 profile views. I have 4 followers or no followers. Well, I'm following 4 people. I don't even know why or how. Oh, well. Let's see. How do I... I do. I already notified everybody on my Twitter account. Oh, okay. I'll do that next time. How do I find out How do I? How do I? That's why we're going to the doctor. Well, you got some rest. Oh, you got some rest. That's okay. Well, you did when you did. That's all. Don't worry about it. Let's see. Where is, how do I find, how do I find my, how do I find what I just recorded? Oh, here we go. You go into schedule episodes, you can go into archive. Yeah, two of them. I had three listeners come back and listen to the one I did the other day. I was a live listener. Three people came back and listened to it in the archive. Yeah, more people listening in the archive. That's good. So I have to schedule my next show. When do I want to do the next one? Calendar, radio show tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow at the same time. Yeah, they're picking it up off the archives. Okay.
There's now, you know, where we make the new models, like it's great deals in 2012. During the summer clearance, you can get a fuel efficient Accord LS for zero down in just 2 months. They don't have to settle for a Honda wannabe. Plums off.
That's not helping.
Huh? Better.
I get that a lot.
Yeah. Here, listen here. I'm starting my show now. This is the show I just did. That's all right. Plug player. There we go. Yeah. It started. Understand that. Volume's up.
YouTube are on.
Yeah. Try it a different way. Okay, let's try this. So I'm up here, right, and I want to listen to this one. Well, maybe it just hasn't posted yet. Let's try the first one. Yeah, take the first one. There.
So we're on to a new deal, huh?
Oh, I don't want to go to Honda's site.
The summer clearance now, you know, where we make world-doing new models, like great deals for 2012. During the summer clearance, people get a fuel efficient Accord LS for zero down in just 2 months. They don't have to settle for a Honda wannabe. Plums
off. That's not helping. We get that a lot.
Okay. Now it's done.
Well, hi.
That one worked.
Hi, everybody. This is Ken Shepard.
Okay, so that one worked.
We'll be with you today.
Okay, so now this one should go the same way, right? Maybe it's just not finished loading yet.
So we're on to a new deal, huh?
Yeah.
So we put out touch if it starts.
No, where we made a new model. I guess people great deals for 2012. During the summer plan, you can get a fuel efficient Accord LS for zero down in just 2 months. They don't have to settle for a Honda wannabe.
Plums off. That's not helping. I get that a lot.
Okay, it's not loaded yet. It's not ready yet. probably take some time before it's loaded.
So we're on to a new deal, huh?
Yeah, it's the Honda Summer Clearance now. You know where we take